We love God's Word here. Love to have you follow along. And we are still in the book of Job. Next week, we will conclude the book of Job. Tonight, we are in chapters 38 and 39. The omnipotence of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious Word. Thank you for the truth. Oh, how we desperately need truth in the world in which we live and in the nation in which we live. It's so hard anymore to discern at times the truth from the lie and half-truths. And thank you, God, that you give us your precious Word, given by the inspiration of God, that gives us wisdom, knowledge, and insight, and helps us to know what is true. Your Word is truth. Every cross T, every dotted I is truth. Every word of the Lord is pure. And thank you, God, tonight that we can gather together. We still have the freedom in America to gather together to go through your Word expositionally, observation, interpretation, application, and so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, have your way tonight in your church. I pray for those watching on YouTube as well, that you would bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, it's been a long haul through Job, hasn't it? Especially over the past 3 or 4 weeks where Job's friends had been coming against him. And it amazes me. Again, I always, you know, during the week I'm pondering the book from beginning to end and how God's Word really ministers to our souls. You would think, looking back at the first chapter, at the life of this man that we've been studying now for a few months, a man who said of him that Job was his servant. God said there was no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. One would never ever think that Job would have to go through the things that he has gone through. But God knew the heart of Job. Just like God knows the heart of every person sitting here tonight and every person on YouTube. God knows everything about each and every one of us. And God knew that he could trust Job to be a faithful testimony to him when things really, really, really got bad. Matter of fact, to the point that Satan came, of course, and said, the only reason that Job worships you is because you've blessed him materially, abundantly, with his family and all. He says, you take all that stuff away from Job, he'll curse you to your face. And that's why Job is going through what he is going through. And another thing I love about this incredible book is I don't think any of us will ever experience what Job has gone through. And what this tells us is whatever the worst case scenario can be on this planet, God loves you and God is with you every step of the way. And another amazing thing about the life of Job, God said he was, you know, there was no one like him on the earth. He was blameless, upright, feared God and shunned evil. He didn't have all 66 books of the Bible like we do. And look at all the incredible promises that you and I have in God's Word. Look at all the scripture verses that we can hold on to in the times of testings and trials and tests and tribulations in this world. And look at the type of man that Job was without all 66 books. So how much more so should we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and he will direct our path. And that's one of the promises I just quoted out of Scripture that you and I can hold on to. God just says, trust me. Hold on to my word. No matter what the situation entails, God is there with you every step of the way. And what happened to Job, again, is nothing short of incredible. Like I said, I doubt if any of us will ever have to go through this. Everything that he had was stripped away. He lost it all in one day. His wealth, his home, his livestock, all 10 of his children he lost in one day. And to top things off, he lost his health. He was covered with boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head that were ulcerated sores. Even to the point that a couple of days later, these runny ulcerated sores were filled with maggots. Imagine, I can't even imagine what this poor soul went through. And to make things even worse, there he sits in the middle of a landfill, in a dump, in the county dump, on a dunghill. I don't have to give you an in-depth study on a dunghill. You know what that is. That's a pile of animal manure where they used to dump the manure of the animals. And that's where he sat in the condition that he was in. And to make matters worse, he sits in a dump and he has three friends that come and dump on him. They trash him. How sad is that? They accused what he was going through. They accused him of having some secret sin in his life that caused all of these things to devastate his life. And we know the truth. They didn't know the truth. And again, last week, we heard from this Yehu called Elihu, and he came along as well and began to trash Job as well. The good news is, tonight we're not going to hear any more trashing of Job. Praise God. But one thing we are going to hear is out of a whirlwind, we are going to hear the voice of God speak to Job. And so let's look at the first three verses in Job chapter 38 tonight. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Wow. How often when our heart's desire is for God to speak to us, oftentimes it's in the good times, the bright times of sunshine within our lives, yet there are also those times when God will speak to us in the midst of a storm. And God is speaking to Job now in the first verse, in a storm, in a whirlwind. Not only was God speaking from a whirlwind, but poor Job's life was a whirlwind at this particular time. But you know what we see throughout biblical history? Then, like in Exodus chapter 19, God spoke to Israel on Mount Sinai out of a storm. Also in 1 Kings 19, God spoke to Elijah out of the storm. Ezekiel said, or Ezekiel saw the glory of God in a storm. And he heard the voice of God speaking to him in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 2. And so here in verse 1, God speaks to Job out of a storm, out of a whirlwind. One of the many, many, many things I love about the Lord is oftentimes when I'm in the storms of life, and I'm sure you can testify as well, that's when God speaks to me the loudest. Have you noticed? When you're in the midst of a storm and things are stripped away, when you're at the end of yourself and you pick up your Bible, it is absolutely nothing short of incredible how God will speak to you and I. And he also speaks to us at times through that still, small voice. He doesn't speak to us audibly, but we know that it is the Lord who is talking, speaking to our hearts. And so here, God finally speaks to Job. After all he'd been through with all of his friends just doing nothing but degrading him and putting him down and trashing him. And now he gets to hear the voice of God. And what God's going to do here tonight is he's going to address Job with 77 questions. 77 questions he's going to lay out before him about his own omnipotence. The term omnipotent, referring to God, is all-powerful. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, meaning he knows everything. And he is omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere. And you know, it's been through the book of Job that in my own personal life, I have come to the realization that the God who loves me and loves you and gave his son for you and for me is beyond human description. Can you really, really describe who God is? Words just aren't enough. Just try to describe his love for you and I. Just try to describe the many blessings that he pours out upon our life. Our description of God is beyond words. And so here, He addresses Job with 77 questions. And the whole purpose, of course, is to show Job his own majesty, his glory, his wisdom, his power. And that's why I said, I love this section for us here tonight, because it shows us too as well tonight, God's majesty. And again, that's another term that falls short of who God. Can you describe majesty when it comes to God? I can't. How about glory? He's going to show us again tonight his glory, his wisdom, and his power as well. And again, God's wisdom. If you read the book of Proverbs, which I do every day, whatever day it is I read that day, today it was, of course, Proverbs 14. Proverbs has a lot to say about godly wisdom and human wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. The Bible also says that man's wisdom, carnal wisdom, the wisdom of man is but foolishness to God. I'll tell you what, we're going to see some stuff here about God tonight that is going to make the wisdom of man look stupid. Foolishness. And as I've shared many times, this offends well-educated people when I say this. But you know what? Your master's degree is useless if you don't know the master. Because in order for you to attain that master's degree, you've got to go along with and give the answers to these college professors that they want to hear. And many of them are ungodly. You will never hear in college about God being the creator of heaven and earth. Oh, it's all about evolution and the Big Bang and all that. That's garbage. That's foolishness to God. And how sad it is that God created everything, was made of him and by him and through him, the Bible says. But yet look what man does. Look what we're teaching our children in public schools. And even way back in the Stone Age when I was in school, you know, they used to show us pictures in the science book of an ape and then how it works its way into a human being over the years. That's baloney. Monkey business. And I think it's important to realize and recognize when, by the way, on Sunday after we finish Romans, we're going into the book of Genesis, because I think Genesis is what we need to hear today. About God's creation, about how he made them, oh, male and female. Can you believe that? How he made the animals, and the animals were different from human beings. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about everything in the Old Testament that pertains to life and godliness. I'm excited about it. We need to hear that today like never before. And so tonight we're going to see God's majesty and his glory and his wisdom and his power. And even with the incredible things that we're going to see here before us tonight, this is only a glimpse of the true and the living God. Just a glimpse, a tiny glimpse. You can read this incredible book all of your life, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and only scratch the surface on God's nature and God's character. Because it's beyond human description. It excites me. I get so excited that one day, very, very soon, we're going to see him face to face, Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day that's going to be. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more sin. I mean, the list is endless of all the things that you and I will never, ever, 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 ever experience again. In the meantime, tonight we're going to get another glimpse of the true and the living God, our Father in heaven. Isn't it just nothing short of incredible, that alone, that we can call him our Father in heaven? And that's not just to quote the Lord's Prayer. I used to quote the Lord's Prayer before he was my Father. Who's your daddy? You know? And I didn't realize what Scripture said. Scripture says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And all of those years I was praying to my Father in heaven, and he wasn't my daddy. How sad. Until I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, now I can pray, our Father, my Father who is in heaven, who loves us and gave his son Jesus Christ for us. And again, ponder that sometime. That Jesus Christ came into this world for the most vile and wicked sinner that ever walked the planet and everybody in between. The perfect Son of God who knew no sin. There was no sin in him. Laid down his incredible life for you and me so that we might spend eternity with God in heaven. Again, eternity with God in heaven. Amazing. And so Job challenged God back in chapter 13, 22. And that's why God, here in our first section, says, I will question you and you shall answer me. Because back in 13:22 of this book, Job said, let me speak. Then you respond to me, Job said to God. Uh-oh. Let me speak. And so God's going to allow him to speak. We'll cover that next week. And Job doesn't say very much. And so now God is going to respond to Job's challenge. God's first question to Job deals with God's creation. Basically, God will challenge Job with, can you explain my creation? And again, that's a word we don't hear a whole lot today. Creation. Not evolution, but creation. And again, it's nothing short of incredible when God asks Job about his creation. And look what we know about creation from God's word, from what we see around us. Are these questions that God is going to ask Job here tonight put scientists to shame? We have many unbelieving, heathen, God-hating scientists in this world that are going to be put to shame by some of the things we're going to discuss here tonight. Isn't that amazing? God's going to lay it out with all their man-made theories of evolution and Big Bang theories. I remember way back when I was in high school, maybe before that, they said the world was about 10,000 years old. Now it's 100 million. How'd that get old that fast? 100 million years just went by like that, didn't it? Crazy. We know and we believe that the earth is somewhere between 6 and 7,000 years old, according to the timetable of Scripture. When God, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, created heaven and earth. The term created in Hebrew means barach. It means he took something that did not exist and made something out of it. God created the heavens and the earth. And so these scientists believe in evolution, the Big Bang theory. And you know what? These things can never, ever, ever be proven. Yet the sad thing, people would much rather believe pagan scientists than they would the holy scriptures of God, the words of eternal life. People go out to the racetrack and they go to the casinos looking for these incredible odds. You know, there's some odds in this book that are beyond any human number. Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem, fulfilled over 330 Old Testament prophecies. And do you know, to just fulfill 8 of those prophecies, the number is 10 to the 17th power. The number 10 was 17 zeros behind it for just 8 prophecies, and he fulfilled over 330. Give me the odds on that one. But yet people still refuse to believe. And again, that was just what Jesus fulfilled, and there's so many other prophecies in this incredible book. The odds are insurmountable. How sad it is that they believe these theories, which are, it says here in the first verse, darkened counsel, words without knowledge. And so again, let's look at the first section. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Look at verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? The incredible thing about that, God in his omniscience says that he knew us even before he created us. But Job, or you, or myself, were not around when God created the heavens and the earth. And so the first question, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I got the answer for all of those. God, 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 God. Pretty simple. God did all of these things. It's amazing, isn't it? He determined the measurements. And by the way, as we all know from our history books back in junior high school and in elementary school, do you know how Christopher Columbus found out that the earth was round? Right here. He read the Bible. They thought the earth was flat then. Imagine that. And he read the Holy Scriptures and found out that the world was round. And that's when he launched off and discovered America. Right out of God's word. Christopher Columbus believed the Lord. He was a believer. He was born again Christian. And so it's amazing, isn't it? Right off the bat. Who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And that's what's happening today. People are darkening the counsel of God with the Big Bang, with evolution, and they don't have knowledge. They think they're smart. And the Bible says about those people that they profess to be wise, but they have become fools. The Living Bible paraphrases what God says. Why are you using your ignorance to deny my providence? Well, God doesn't mince words. He lays it out there. And again, I love the questions that are asked here, as each one causes us to ponder God's incredible wisdom and knowledge. And that's what one of the many, 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 many things I love about the Bible is the more that I read Scripture, the more I learn about God. And the more my faith is strengthened. And we've been talking tonight, Nathan and I, why do we worry when we see all of these incredible things about the God who knows you and loves you? Why do we worry? Why do we stress? Why do we doubt? Why are we faithless and foolish and fickle? I'm as guilty as anybody. With all these incredible promises and all the wonderful things we read about the nature and character of God, we shouldn't worry one bit. And when we do, he says, give them all to me. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. God cares for you. There's no reason for you and I worrying and stressing out. What good does that do? And again, like I said, I love the questions. Each one causes us to ponder God's incredible wisdom and knowledge. At the same time, man's pride, arrogance, and stupidity come to the surface as well. In verse 4, God begins with creation. He's the master builder. Yeah. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He laid the foundation. He spoke it into existence. Amazing. And again, I can't wait to get to Genesis again. He gives us here, like the master builder, the measurements, the line, the foundation, and even the cornerstone. And it was so beautiful, it says here in verse 7, that the stars and the angels sang in chorus with shouts of joy. Imagine that, the angels and the creation singing out to God with this beautiful creation. We were talking tonight, I forget who I was talking to, how beautiful this world really is. But this is even after the flood and after the fall. I can't imagine what it looked like prior to man falling into sin. But where were you, Job, he says, when all this took place? God now says, consider the seas. We talked about the heavens and the earth. Let's talk about the ocean a little bit now. Look at verse 8. Or who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb. When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, and but no farther. And here, your proud waves must stop. And so here, God uses physical examples for spiritual truths. And here he talks about how he created the sea. and how he is in control of the sea. He tells the sea how far it can go and how far it cannot go. He keeps the sea under his control. And stop and think about it. That's just one of the many, 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 many things that God is in full control of even right now. And again, like I said, it's mind-boggling to think about the nature and character of God. He knows you personally better than you know yourself. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of cells in your body. He knows everything about you. Amazing. The number of breaths that you've taken. He gives you every beat of your heart. He knows everything about every person on this planet, all at the same time. At the same time, he's controlling the animal kingdom. He's controlling the heavens. He's controlling the earth. All of this stuff, all at the same time. He's keeping the ocean from flooding us out. God's in full control of everything. And again, why do we doubt? Why do we worry? Why do we stress? And God's in full control of everything. And he stops the ocean where he wants to stop it. And he's also in control of the clouds. And again, he takes the water from the ocean up into the clouds and takes the clouds over the land and waters the land. God's all doing all of this. Oftentimes I hear people complain about the weather and the weather report and everything. You know, how come they didn't tell us it was going to rain? How come they didn't tell us the wind was going to blow for a couple months here now? I said, I don't put my faith and trust in the weather, man. I put my faith and trust in the one who controls the weather. And pretty much I can almost always tell you when it's going to rain. The day after I wash my truck. Never fails. You ever have that happen as well? Yeah, just joking. God is in full control of everything. The clouds, the rain, the ocean, the rivers, the lakes. And again, without God in the equation, there's no answer to these questions that he's asking Job. And we can read every question and go, God, God, God. But yet, if you don't know God, if he's not in the equation, you won't have an answer to all of these questions. You'll just have nothing but speculation and the wisdom of men. Verses 12 to 18. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked may be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment from the wicked. Their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this, Job. Poor Job. Again, it's God who commands the morning. You know, God is the one that causes the sun to rise. And on the other side of the valley, he's the one that causes the sun to set. He's in control of everything. The dawn, the daybreak. He even mentions a clay seal here, which when it's stamped, it's like God forming the world out of clay. The colors stand out like a beautiful garment. He, God, withholds light from the wicked. And their evil plots are broken. God exposes them through the light. What do you know about the springs of the sea and of the depths of the ocean, Job? Job didn't have a submarine like we do today. But again, the equipment we have and the things that we do now and the things we learn now, for like a submarine or whatever going down in the depths of the sea, we all attribute that to man's wisdom. It's not man's wisdom. God knows all of these things. The springs of the sea. Do you know that there are springs that come up out of the bottom of the ocean? Again, read about the flood with Noah. Do you know that in the days of Noah when the flood came, it wasn't just rain upon the earth. There were springs that came up out of the bowels of the earth. There's water in the center of the earth, more water than water that's in the ocean on the top of the earth. And we know all of these things because God tells us. And today we're able to go down into the depths of the ocean. Yet the sad thing is that God is not recognized. And again, isn't it wonderful as a believer when we go out into what is called nature today? And we see up in the mountains the beautiful, you know, things that God has created. The trees and the mountains and the springs and the lakes and the birds chirping and all these wonderful things. And the same thing holds true with the ocean. I've never gone deep sea diving, but I've seen pictures of the things that people see when they go diving into the ocean with the incredible fish that God has created and the whales and the seals and all of these things. They were all created by God. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful to look through the eyes of God at these things instead of through the eyes and the wisdom of man, to know that God has created these things. God created these things for our enjoyment, the Bible says. And how much enjoyment must Adam have had with all of the animals on the earth when God created them and Adam got to name them one by one? Yeah. And what must it have been like to be in a place where all of the animals got along? No animosity, no pun intended, between one another. But you know what? Heaven's going to be like that. There's going to be animals in heaven one day. And we're going to see, again, peace in God's creation. He says to Job, do you comprehend the breadth of the earth, the measurements? And again, Job had no clue how big the earth was. Why? Because he could not get up above it like we do again today. He didn't know the breadth of the earth, the height, depth of the oceans, any of those things. But God does. He knows absolutely everything. He says, tell me how you know all this. Again, today, we know, we attribute it, sadly enough, to man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. Verses 19 to 24. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? You ever wonder where light comes from? This was before the sun was created. Yeah. God is light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But he says to Job, where's the way of the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory. That you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it? Because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? And again, it's God who commands the morning and the days and the daybreak. And as we see here now, again, God is the one that controls light. Where does light come from, Job? He says, where does light dwell? And again, this was before the sun was created. How about darkness? Where does it come from? And again, he challenges Job. Were you born then? Nope. Where is the treasury of the snow and the hail? Check this out. 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow? Have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, and or the earth and the wind scattered over the earth? And again, where is the treasury of the snow or the hail? This is all under God's divine control. Where's it kept? Who controls the light? Who controls the east wind? That's a good question today, isn't it? A lot of us that have been in this valley for a while haven't seen so much wind. And all the time we've lived here, just like every day, the wind is blowing. And here it should be triple digits every day, and it hasn't been. Again, this doesn't bother me. People get worried and stressed, and what's going on with the weather? And I go, I know the weatherman. I know who controls the weather. I don't worry about that stuff. And today we're truly blessed as we know who is in control of all of these things and more. So that's why you don't have to stress and worry and put your faith and trust in the 6 o'clock news, the Weather Channel. And again, just what, last week, no one even mentioned that it was going to rain here, but it did. Get up in the morning again the day after I washed my truck and it's all spotted. That's the reason it rained, right? No. But no one even mentioned that there was going to be rain, but it rained. And that happens so often, doesn't it? And we know who's in control. The point being here tonight, you know, put your faith and trust in God being in control of everything. Everything. God is in full control. He is never out of control. He's in full control of everything. Everything. And it certainly is freeing, isn't it, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord. And not worry about things. God has it. I know I'm guilty of it as well. There's been times I worried about certain things, and all of a sudden, once I got through it, God took me through it. I'm thinking, why did I worry about that? What a ripoff that was. That stole my joy. It ripped off my faith. And all of us at times are fickle in our faith. Verses 26 to 30 now. Or 25 to 30. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? Or a path for the thunderbolt? There's one that's absolutely incredible. God directs a path of lightning. A thunderbolt. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water or a path for the thunderbolt to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one? That's so true, isn't it? There are places where it rains where there's no people. But God is in full control of everything. He causes the rain to fall on the land where there's no one and also in places where there's a heavy population. To cause it to rain on a land where there's no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? And the frost of heavens, who gives it birth? And again, a physical example of a spiritual truth. Amazing. Who controls the channels, Job? God. He controls the rivers, the lakes, the streams, everything. He controls the thunderbolt. Who causes the rain to fall on the land? God does. Hold on a second, I'm about to sneeze. Which brings forth tender grass. Does rain have a father? Does rain have a mother? Does it come out of her womb? Does her water break? No, just kidding. Who gives birth to the frost? How does the water harden like stone? How does the water freeze? And again, the weatherman will probably give you some ideas, but it is God who is in full control of everything. The sun, the moon, the stars, the rain. As we see here, the frost, the snow, it's all under God's control. Now he tells Job to look upward. Astronomy, verses 31 to 33. And notice he names all of the formations. Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades? Is that how I pronounce it? Pleiades. Or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth? That must have been the Italian galaxy in its season. Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Isn't that amazing? Again, Job, do you control the stars, the constellations? How do they keep in orbit? God's got it all under control. He is the one that sustains the whole universe. And even with the tremendous telescopes that we have today, we haven't even scratched the surface of the universe of God's creation. There's constellations out there that are, there's millions and millions and millions of constellations. And here's another amazing thing about God's nature and character. He knows every one of them by name. Isn't that amazing? But we see here again, and this is what blows me away, looking at this section this week, it shows me man's insignificance compared to all of God's other creation. But yet, look what God did. He sent his Son into this world to die for us so that we can spend eternity in heaven with him. That just blows me away. There's a lot of things in this universe that are greater in size and greater in whatever beauty than we are, but yet God's incredible plan was to come and to save our souls because he loves us. Verses 34 to 38. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Then the abundance of water may cover you. What are you saying? Can you call down the rain? No. And again, how often do we see clouds come over this valley and think it's going to rain and not one drop comes down? And at other times, the clouds are off at a distance and we're getting sprinkles on our windshield. God's in control of everything. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Then the abundance of water may cover you? No. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? And again, we know the answer to that question, don't we? God. God gives us wisdom if we will seek his wisdom. God will put wisdom in our minds, and he will give understanding to our hearts. But again, he also gave us a free will and a free won't. And it's our choice whether we want godly wisdom in our minds and whether we want godly understanding in our hearts. It's your choice. If you don't have it, it's nobody's fault but your own. God wants that in you and I. That's why he encourages us to read his word and to study the scriptures to show ourselves approved. Notice. Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven? And again, only God. You think at times you can number the clouds, but isn't it amazing? One of the things about clouds is they can disappear in a second. Oh, they can appear as well in a split second. So who can number the clouds by wisdom? Only God. And again, he's challenging Job with all these questions. Who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? And again, talking about clouds and water that come down upon the earth and how it forms dirt clods. And again, all God's handiwork. Verse 38. Can you hunt the prey for the lion? Or satisfy the appetite of young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? And again, we know the answer to all of those questions, don't we? God. God is the one who provides prey for the lions. God is the one who satisfies the appetite for the young lions as well. When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs or lie in wait. That's true with all of God's creation. God takes care of his animal kingdom. He provides for them. 41 says he provides food for the raven. He does that through us sometimes here at the office. Sometimes we'll have lunch and leave the lid off the trash can. You can't believe the ravens that show up out there, you know? And I go, yeah, Jehovah Jireh, he's providing for the ravens again. When its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food. And again, God takes care of every bit of his creation. Animal kingdom, the birds of the air, God's in full control of everything. Okay, I got 15 minutes to finish this last chapter. Chapter 39. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? The amazing thing as well is we don't even know when human beings are going to be born. We know it's about 9 months, but sometimes they're premature and other times they go over the due date. I often tell the moms that are carrying these babies, hey, babies are always born on their birthday. You know? But God knows. He knew you and I before the foundations of the world. He knew the very day that you would be born in the very hour. Not only that, he also knows the day that you will take your last breath here on earth. He's in full control of everything. We're going to be right on time with the appointment that we have for God one day. You're going to be right on time. And so again, he challenges Job. Do you know the gestation period? The birthing habits? Do you know the instincts? Notice, watch this. They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Here we go. Mountain goats, deer, donkeys, check this out. Who sets the wild donkeys free? I know he set this one free. Who loosed the bonds of the onager? And an onager, of course, is a wild donkey. Whose home I have made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwelling. He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. And so he's talking about the wild donkeys here. They don't like the city life. They want to be out in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us here they search out the green things. Check it out. In verse 8, the range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches out after every green thing. And again, look how God even takes care of the wild donkeys. Verse 9, will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? And again, even the wild ox is a wild ox, and man has to, you know, lasso them and tie them up to get them to use them for plowing and transporting things. But again, God's in control of everything. God created the wild ox, God created the wild donkeys, and God takes care of them all. Notice, verse 13, the wings of the ostrich waved proudly. This is a crack up, this section. I was laughing over this one. But are her wings and pinions like the kindly storks? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain, without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom. In God's creation, he deprived, as we see here, the ostrich of wisdom, and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself up on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. And so the ostrich, excuse me, I feel like Pharaoh, I've got a frog in my throat. The ostrich, he says here, acts foolishly. She lays her eggs in vulnerable places. She walks away and kicks dirt up upon the eggs And then when they're born, she threatens the young harshly. How sad. Yet, it says at the end of this section that she can outrun a horse and its rider. And again, look at God's creation. God has created all of these things. Verse 19. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened and does not, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him and the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. And again, this is incredible, isn't it? What he says about the strength of a war horse. He can't be frightened. Just runs right into the battle. He's majestic. He's unafraid. He gallops into the battle. No fear. He doesn't turn back from the sword. Disregarding the quivers and the spears and the javelins and the trumpets, the thunder and the shouting. And that's so true, isn't it? I've always been amazed when I see movies like that about, you know, the cavalry going into battle and running right into others coming the other way. And the horses, how, you know, they're strong, they have strength, and they're unafraid, and they gallop right into the battle. God created them that way. 26 to 30. We're getting there. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood. And where the slain are, there it is. In the last section, as we close, again, Job, did you give wisdom to the hawk? Did you teach the eagle how to fly? And again, isn't it wonderful when we go out into the wilderness and we can see hawks and eagles, how majestic they are in the air? Again, it's all part of God's creation. He says, did you teach them how to make their nests on high? No, God did. Did you teach them how to feed their young ones with food? No. Up to this point, as we see, Job has just sat there through 77 questions. Not one answer. But next week, tune in next week if you're here. In chapter 40, Job is going to answer God. He's going to respond, but with only three verses. He's just like, he's in shock. He's in awe of God. And you know what? The more we know about God, and the more we ask of God questions like this, and the more we learn of God, his nature, his character, his creation, all these things, we're silenced. It's amazing. The God that we know and love and serve. And again, like I said, I love this section of Scripture because God gives Job a lot of questions that we can meditate on today. And not only that, they can strengthen our faith that every single thing in the heavens and the earth are under God's control. Do you know that? You believe that? If we did, we wouldn't be out of control. Why do we get out of control? Why do we panic? Why do we flip out? That's why it is so important, especially in the times in which we live, to get into the Word of God and to learn about His nature, His characters, His character, and also His promises to you and to I. And you know what that'll do? That'll strengthen your faith and strengthen my faith like never before. And in the times in which we live, like I was telling someone earlier, I've never experienced spiritual warfare in this world like I have over the past few years of ministry. It is absolutely nothing short of incredible. But at the same time, I'm holding on to God's word more. I'm holding on to his promises more. And I'm resting in him through everything and anything that comes my way. And again, like I said in our opening or in our introduction, you and I will never go through what Job went through. And the good news is, as we have all 66 books to hold on to, all of the incredible promises, someone had mentioned one time there's over 6,000 promises in this book for you and for me, and it's up to you and I what we do with them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these questions that we can meditate upon and think about, but yet we know the answer. God, you are in full control of everything. There's absolutely nothing that is out of your control. Help us to rest in that. Help us to hold on to your word and your precious promises like never before, Lord. Would you do that, please? Help us to walk by faith and not by feeling. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to just trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Help us to acknowledge your ways and you will direct our path. Thank you for loving us so much. That's incredible as well. As huge and humongous as the universe is and the heavens and the earth and all, that you would send your son into this world to die for us. These little specks of dust upon the earth. Absolutely incredible, absolutely amazing. And Lord, you knew because you are omniscient what you got in the package with every one of us. You knew the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you still loved us enough to send your son to save us. And so help us, Lord, to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, and help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and on your word, and help us to be ready for your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.